Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. You're going to be glad you did, because our good friend Dr. Robert McTeer is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Bob McTeer is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, going back to like 1999, when he was still the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, when he was still a member of the Federal Open Market Committee, perhaps the most powerful monetary group, a gathering of people on the planet. He was a part of that group for a long time, and now he's retired from the Fed and is doing some exciting things on his own with and working with the National Center for Policy Analysis and other things, blogging as well, and he's got a little more time to do our show now. And so he also, many of you have seen him on television. He's quite often on CNBC many times as a guest host. And so you've been listening to his wisdom about economic things for a long time, and we've been glad to present a lot of that to you. Bob McTeer, welcome back to the show, and Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Jim. Merry Christmas to you and your audience.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, as always. Bob, I think I probably mentioned this to you before, and I know I have with my audience, but in the beginning of 2008, I looked at the economic conditions and the political conditions. And I said, I believe in 2008, we're going to live the Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. And boy, howdy, has that come to pass. But I should have said unprecedented times, shouldn't I?
Yes, once in a lifetime.
That's what this is, isn't it? Some of the stuff we've had. Of course, we are the president. From a presidential standpoint, we've already had some unprecedented stuff there. But let's talk about the economy, because that's your world. Talk to us about some of the unprecedented things. Are they unprecedented ever, or just since the Depression?
Well, some since the Depression. You know, they just declared that last December was the peak of the last business cycle. So our
right.
So-called recession started in January when you were making your pronouncement. So you had
right.
a feel for that. However, if people start counting how many months the recession is supposed to last, I think they ought to wait till September to start the count, because the real economy part was not too bad until employment
right.
started plunging in September and October, and presumably it's going to be very bad for the next few months. But on the unprecedented side of things, you just had a total freezing up of the credit flows in the financial system. You had the collapse of all the major investment banks.
There are no more major investment banks, investment bankers on Wall Street now.
Right, and you've got
there were five. There were five in August, and none today.
Right, and you've got the Fed in there, substituting itself for all the counterparties that are too afraid to do business.
Right, that's unprecedented. And is that unprecedented ever, or do you think, I know that the government intervention in the marketplace, it seems to me, has been unprecedented.
I think it has, although I don't worry as much about it as people like you and me used to.
I do. I worry about it.
Well, it's a worrisome thing, Jim, but most of what the government has done has been things like purchasing preferred stock and making loans that are fully collateralized and very likely to be paid back. It's not as if it's traditional government ownership of industry that includes voting and so forth.
What about the moral hazard, though? And you know, I've talked about moral hazard on the show before. And I remember back, you know, you were on the show probably back in March or something like that, and I asked you about moral hazard, and you said, you know what, this is a time when you need to not be so concerned about moral hazard. You need to just fix it.
Yeah, when the government started being very active in these things, there were a lot of people cautioning about moral hazard. You know, let them fail. It's good market discipline. Then they let Lehman Brothers fail, and everybody goes, whoops. You know, that failure turned out to be a real negative inflection point in the whole situation, and that's caused a lot of people to think, well, you know, there's worse than moral hazard. But, Jim, let me say something about moral hazard. What you worry about with moral hazard is that if you reward bad decisions today, you will encourage decision makers tomorrow to do the same thing because they're going to be rewarded or bailed out. But, you know, all these big organizations that have failed, their CEOs have lost their job. Their CEOs and their board pretty much has lost all their
Their bonuses jobs. Are gone. Yeah.
So even though you might call it a bailout, it's not something that people are going to want to emulate.
Right,
The outcome wasn't good for decisions.
I see your point, and it's an excellent one. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Bob McTeer's got a lot more excellent points. We're going to talk about more of this and also get Bob to tell us what he thinks about 2009. When are things going to get better? Right after these messages. Stay with us. Little Heart bringing us back 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the mothership. And then, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz. And my blog is jimsblog.biz. But if you'll just go to smallbusinessadvocate.com, you'll find everything there, the blog and the knowledge base and all the things that we do here on the show and all the things we do with our Brain Trust members. And everything is there just for you so you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. And I hope you'll use that. No barriers to entry, by the way. If you get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. Bob McTeer is our guest, folks. Dr. Robert McTeer, former member of the Federal Open Market Committee, former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, distinguished fellow now with the National Center for Policy Analysis. Bob, one of the unprecedented things that has happened in the last few days that completely blew one of my predictions for the Fed. I usually predict what the Fed is going to do every year. And maybe it's my experience with you, Bob, but believe it or not, for two or three years in a row, I got the Fed behavior down to, I mean, I nailed it every year for two or three years there. This year, they completely blew me out of the water. One of the things they did was they did something completely unprecedented a couple of weeks ago or a week or so ago. Tell the audience what they did.
Well, on interest rates, they chose a range instead of a point for the new target Fed funds rate. The range went from zero to a quarter point, which was
So that was the hat trick, really, though, wasn't it? I mean, the range, the zero, and the quarter, those were both unprecedented, right?
I think so.
I mean, all three?
Although the target had been a little bit irrelevant for the last two or three weeks before that, because they were already letting it trade below the target.
Huh.
And they call that quantitative easing on TV, and that makes it sound like what the Japanese did after they got interest rates down to virtually zero. But
it sure does, and why didn't we learn something from the Japanese, Bob? Rates down to zero didn't help them. This isn't helping us.
Well, this zero came late in the game here, and they just wanted to do as much as they can. But most of the good the Fed is doing, if the Fed is doing good. Remember your first piano lesson.
Mm-hmm.
If a woodchuck could chuck wood.
Right.
Most of the good it's doing right now is buying certain assets. You know, traditionally the Fed conducts open market operations with short-term treasuries. But now it's promising to buy some mortgage-backed securities and some other securitized products that have credit card debt, student aid debt, and so forth. It's buying securities to unfreeze particular markets.
Those are assets that don't have any market value because people don't know how bad they're going to get, and that's hurting the balance sheets of these companies and banks, aren't they?
Hurting the balance sheets of the banks and drying up credit for ordinary people.
But so when is all this unprecedented stuff going to manifest as some benefit in the marketplace? So far, Bob, everything the government has done has kind of fallen like a dead fish.
Yeah, well, we got a big boost in the stock market the day they did that, and then
but it's been down five days in a row since then.
You know, I was on Larry Kudlow the other night, and he gives me a hard time these days, and he was demanding to know when they're going to stop priming the pump. And I said,
yeah, he's not an interventionist, is he, at all?
He's closer than he used to be. Yeah. I said, Larry, they'll stop priming the pump when some water starts coming out of it.
Yeah, well, when's that going to happen, Bob? What's it going to take? I mean, have you ever seen people as determined to deleverage as people are right now?
Oh, they're really, really going after it. But I think we're beginning to see some signs of stabilization and improvement. For example, LIBOR, that Interbank London.
Tell the audience why that's important to anybody.
Well, LIBOR is basically European, although a lot of U.S. Banks set their interest rates based on it. It's the London Interbank Offered Rate, and it's a measure of banks' reluctance or willingness to lend to each other. Sort of like our Fed funds rate,
mm-hmm.
And when it goes way up, it means that they're distrustful of each other, especially if it goes up and it is also going up relative to other rates,
mm-hmm.
like relative to the Fed funds rate.
Right.
So it's come down a good bit, and that's a sign of health.
Are you saying that the party favors have been bought? And are ready to be passed around, or maybe they've even been passed around, but nobody's opened them yet, and it's just a matter of people opening them up?
Yeah, it's a matter of people opening up. I don't really think it's about to happen. I don't think we're on the verge of it
yeah.
yet. But I think they've been passed around, and a lot of the right things have been done. People are going to be very critical of the Fed because it's done so much. But in my opinion, the Fed has saved us so far from slipping into what could have become a depression.
Could have been rough, and it would have been global if it had happened. So do you think it's just a matter of time? We have to get through some time.
We have to get through some time.
Steps have been taken, and the right things have been done. We just have to get some days behind us.
Yeah, some of the right things have just been promised. For example, the purchase of mortgage-backed securities is mostly ahead of us, not something that's been going on already very much.
Right.
I'll give another plug. They ought to get rid of mark-to-market accounting rules.
We've been talking about that. I've been talking about that all year long.
Yeah.
Steve Forbes completely agrees with you.
That's low-hanging fruit. It's cheap, and the government won't have to pay out anything.
I asked Bob McTeer, I'm sorry, Steve Forbes, I get you guys confused sometimes, you're both smart guys. I asked Steve Forbes back in September if they did away with mark-to-market January 1, would we be in any of the stuff that we're in right now? He said no.
If they'd done it last January 1, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He said they wouldn't be.
They still need to do it before December 31st.
But they had a chance to do it the other day, and they didn't.
I know. It's amazing. But they need to do it before the end of this quarter.
I hope they do. Thank you, Bob, for saying that. Stand by 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Robert McTeer. And, Bob, your website is bobmcteer.com, right?
That's right. And from there, you can get to my excellent blog.
It's an excellent blog, too, folks, if he does say so himself. I completely agree with him. bobmcteer.com and also ncpa.org, right? National Center for Policy Analysis, where you are a distinguished fellow. One of only three distinguished fellows, by the way, folks. So he is truly distinguished. ncpa.org, an outstanding organization. Governor Pete DuPont's the chair of that group. And our good friend, too. By the way, all three of the distinguished fellows there are good friends of ours. Terry Neese, you, Bob, and also Pete DuPont. Bob, here's a heavy question for you. With all the, you know, I'm a lot like Larry Kudlow. I don't like all this intervention, but I do think that you know, discretion has to be the better part of valor. But with all this government intervention, all this government bailout, and with all the institutions that have been around, every other recession that I've been involved in over the last 40 or so years, Bob, these institutions have been there to help us come back when we needed to, and many of them are gone now, and some of them are still are yet to fall to the wayside, like some of the big three. Is this the end of capitalism?
I don't think so. I think, you know...
Is it in peril?
Well, yes, of course, and also it could end up being very inflationary, which may be the route to the end of capitalism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when President Bush said that he couldn't let the country go down over an ideology, I sort of knew what he meant there. You know, I'm a free
market guy,
too. Tell us
what that
means. Too. Well, they say there are no atheists in foxholes.
Right.
And no libertarians in charge of a financial crisis. I mean, the problem I have with Kudlow and a lot of the people on his show is they just say they're against it, and they don't say what they would do were they the decision makers.
Well, a true free marketer, the people I know who, I mean, you and I are both free marketers, but I know people that make you and me look like Keynes or something. But, you know, the true free marketers think just let the chips fall as they may, laissez-faire to the nth degree.
I understand that, and sometimes I'm that way myself, but I think these chips, they're just too big and too many of them, and you could let your economy just crater on this ideological purity.
So,
you know what
so
Ogden Nash said about purity?
Ogden, go ahead.
Ogden Nash, the poet?
Yeah.
That purity is obscurity.
I like that. Yeah, he also had a good poem about ketchup. That's a good one, too. So you actually think, and I agree with you, that this may not be the end of capitalism, but capitalism is in some jeopardy. And the reason I think it's important to talk about this, Bob, and to say that out loud, is because people like you and me and my brain and my small business owners have to do this. We need to do this, so we can realize that there is some our way of life is in jeopardy. And we need to fight to prevent that from happening, don't we?
Yes, and we need to be vigilant to get the government to undo a lot of these things when the time comes for them to be undone.
Right.
And it's going to be hard. I mean, Fannie and Freddie are going to be making mortgage rates lower, and people are going to be reluctant to give that up, make them private again.
Right.
The Fed's loans will somehow be paid off almost automatically. The banks are going to have a time trying to sell back the preferred stock to the government, but I'm sure that's all their intention right now.
Right. But but even though we pay the government back, are they ever really going to get out?
Well,
what's it going to take to get this camel backed all the way out, nose and all?
Yeah, well, you know what Enron did to accounting. I imagine this is going to do something similar to regulation. We'll come out of this with more regulation than we need. But, you know, Alan Greenspan even acknowledged that he had overestimated the ability of these institutions to sort of regulate themselves through counterparty risk and so forth.
Right.
And he never would regulate derivatives.
Mm-hmm.
He thought they were only good and could never be bad. And I think the investor from Omaha may have had it right. What did he call them? Weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, exactly. Quickly, Bob, 09, what's the economy going to be in 09? 30
seconds.
Well,
it's going to start out in a pretty deep recession. I don't see any impetus coming from anywhere except the government right now.
Yeah.
The consumer no longer has appreciating home values and appreciating
or 401k. Or credit availability.
So the consumers, I think consumer spending is going to be negative. It's going to be hard for investment spending to be positive with consumers cutting back.
So by the second half, what do you think, quickly?
We may start climbing back up in the third quarter, maybe the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I hope so. From your mouth to God's ears. Hey, Bob, thanks for being here. Happy Christmas.
Oh, same to you.
We'll see you next time. Bob McTeer, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'll be here tomorrow. Don't worry. I'll be here.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.